Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Ezra, chapter 8. He loved the people of God like Shaul, Paul, loved the believers, Jewish believers, non-Jewish believers. He loved the body of Mashiach, the body of Christ, the body of Yeshua the Messiah. Wonderful servants of the Lord. May God help us to have just a little bit of this attitude in our own hearts and life to serve the Lord among the people of God. So, Ezra was searching for servants, and they went, and by the way, you notice at the end there that they brought him servants, and they did bring him those that cared and they wanted to serve, because it does say, if you notice, after he sent them in verse 17, then in verse 18, and by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us men of understanding, and so on, of the sons of Mahalai, and so on, the son of Levi. In other words, they did bring from among the tribe of Levi and the people of Israel some who were willing to serve. It says in verse 18, there were 18 of them, and in verse 19, there were 20 of them, and in verse 20, there was 220. In other words, you have the Levites, 18 and 20 from Merari, and then Netinim, 220. In other words, servants eventually came to serve among the people of God. And I hope the Lord will help us to have this attitude of willingness to serve the Lord also as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Wonderful to see that in those verses. You know, there are passages that I had in mind to read, how important it is to labor among the people of God. Those that want to serve the Lord, it is a good thing to seek to serve the Lord among the people of God. But as we do so, we need a lot of help from the Lord and strength to do so among the people of God. So, we talk about the list, verses 1 to 14. We talk about the necessity of servants in verses 15 to 20. But then notice verse 21, 22, and 23. He began the journey with a proclamation of a fast and a prayer. That's how he began. He didn't go on a journey to Yerushalayim without to begin by fasting and praying. Look at these verses. Let me read verse 21, 22, and 23. Then I, namely Ezra, I proclaim a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our children, or the little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to inquire of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, and we said to him, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and wrath is against them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. You know, we can see the heart of Ezra. What does he do? He doesn't just go with his own strength. He says, oh, we are able to do so on our own. He does something that is important. He proclaims a special time of fasting and prayer. Brothers and sisters, the question, of course, is immediately, is do we believe in prayer? Do we believe that God is able to answer prayer? You see, what he has done here, fasting and prayer is something that was common among the people of Israel. When there was a time of a need, there is a time that one have a desire to have some answer from the Lord. He or she have gone through a time of fasting and prayer. When Moses was 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, we read in Exodus 34 and verse 28 that he didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. When we think of Yeshua the Messiah, who had been in a wilderness before he had been in his public ministry, He went and he prayed and he fasted. He was for 40 days and 40 nights in a wilderness without to eat, without any substance for himself. And Satan tested him. There, if you remember, in Matthew chapter 4, when he was in the wilderness. And you see that in the time of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel wanted to ask the Lord to assist our people of all the people of Israel, he fasted and he prayed to the God of Israel. Even in the time of Esther, if you remember, when Haman wanted to destroy our Jewish people some years ago, Esther told Mordechai, her uncle, "You fast, and therefore we'll see how an answer will come for me to deliver the Jewish people." Even in the time of Yonah Hanavi, Jonah the prophet, when he proclaimed the message to Nineveh, and when they first repented, in the book of Jonah, in chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, they fasted because judgment was going to come upon them. And therefore you can see the necessity of fasting and prayer. But I want to suggest, beloved brothers and sisters, that fasting and prayer is necessary in order for us to tune our own hearts with the Lord. So we will prepare ourselves so the Lord can answer our need as we have it in our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Yeshua taught this in the Gospels on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He says in verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In other words, Yeshua taught about fasting because it was part of the life of the nation of Israel. When there was a need arisen among the people of God, there was a necessity to afflict themselves and to pray, to ask for the Lord to guide them and to help them. Well, Ezra did so and proclaimed a fast in chapter 8 and verses 21, 22, and 23. And you notice that word here in verse 21. He wanted to seek the Lord that he will give him a right way for us. How will we know what to do when we are making decisions in our lives? How do we know that? Ezra wanted a right way for himself, for his family, for the little ones and for the rest of the nation. He wanted to know what is the will of the Lord. Well, he took the time to pray. He took the time to afflict themselves by waiting on the Lord and seeking guidance from the Lord. And isn't it, beloved brothers and sisters, something that we need today in our own life, to be willing to pray and to spend time with the Lord so he can guide us what to do next? How things are going to develop in our life. We are going to travel. We have a journey to go through. We are going to march towards the city of Jerusalem. Well, what to do? Lord, guide us. Lord, help us in our life. Sometimes we sing the song, "What a friend we have in Yeshua." What a friend. And how we often lose out because we don't turn to him in prayer. Many decisions we have to make in our life, job situation, people that we are going to be with, maybe a partner, wife or husband to get married in the coming days. And all these things, if we are not asking the Lord in prayer, we are the one who are going to lose out. God desired his own people to turn to him for every need. For right way for God's people to help us what to do in a situation that we find ourselves today. I don't know what situation you find yourself today and I find myself today. We all have needs in our personal life. We have issues that we need God's guidance. Well, instead of lifting up the telephone and asking somebody else somewhere else, let's go on our knees and take it to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what should I do right now? Here's the situation that I have in my life. I want and I need a right way for me and my family and my brothers and my sisters in our life today. And that's what Ezra was doing in verses 21 and verse 23. Now, you notice he was ashamed, you see, because he was talking to the king. And notice in verse 22, he was ashamed to ask the king. You see, there are battles on the way, there are enemies on the way, and as we are moving forward, there are all those things that happen in our life that is an opposition to our walk with the Lord. And Ezra was afraid and ashamed to go to the king and said, hey king, oh yes, I believe in God, but please give me soldiers and horses and ammunition so I will be protected by them rather than to be protected by the Lord. Ezra was ashamed to inquire this from the king for soldiers and so on. And he simply said, I know that the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. And so he was anticipating enemies on the way. He was anticipating problems and issues on the way. But he trusted the Lord. Verses that come to my mind, Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Solomon had said it long time ago, and how important it is for us to remember that as well. Please turn with me. Psalm 33 verses 18 in 19, we read, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive even in a time of a famine. Psalm 34, verse 7, The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 15 of Psalm 34, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And then verse 16, The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You see, you notice, the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, the face of the Lord. And so Ezra understood that the Lord is able to help him on this journey. And that's why he did not want to ask the king. It was a shame to ask the king to aid him with military people. But he went and he prayed and the answer came to him. You notice it says in verse 23, So we fasted and we besought our God for this and the answer came. And he was entreated of us. The proof that God had answered him is because earlier we already read in chapter 7 that he had arrived to the city of Jerusalem. So there are various thoughts here that we can learn from this chapter. First of all, we saw the list that God remembered, verses 1 to 14. We saw Ezra viewing the people and sensed the need of servants, verses 15 to 20. Then verses 21 to 23, he commanded fasting and prayer, and God did answer his prayer. Now notice this in verses 24 to verse 30, another thought, that there is a treasures that Ezra distributed to the chief priest. We have about 6 or 7 verses there that Ezra gave to each one of those servants to pass them to Jerusalem. And so verse 24, and I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, and he gave us the name Sheravaiah and Hashavaiah, and another 10 of their brethren. And then he weighed for them silver and gold, and then also copper in verse 27. And he gave these to these servants. Now, in other words, he gave responsibility to some of the elders, the leaders of Israel. He gave those chief of the priests, and he gave them to carry with them silver, gold, and copper, and all the vessels in order to bring them for the service in the city of Jerusalem. Ezra was giving responsibility to others in order that they will participate in the labor, in the responsibility to carry on these vessels to Yerushalayim. And notice what he tells them in verse 28. He said to them, "Ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are also holy. And the silver and the gold are free will offering unto the Lord, the God of your father." He's saying you are set apart for this service of carrying these vessels of gold to the city of Yerushalayim. You are set apart. The vessels are set apart. And you have this privilege and responsibility to carry the free will offering to the city of Yerushalayim. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, they have done so. We read in verse 30 of the response of these people. "So took the priest and the Levites and away the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God." In other words, they took their responsibility to take care of the vessels. After all, brothers and sisters, many of the vessels that had been carried earlier by Nebuchadnezzar were placed in Babylon, in the temple of their gods. And now he brings them back, and even additional material to build out the house of the Lord. It's so wonderful to see. But there was a participation of others in the service of carrying through the responsibility and bringing it back to the city of Yerushalayim. So the treasures that Ezra distributed among the chief men of the priest from among the people of Israel. Now here's the conclusion of this chapter. It's found from verse 31 to verse 36. And let me just make sure that I communicate some thoughts to you about these verses. You notice that in those verses we see the protection of God and the safe arrival to the city of Yerushalayim. God protect his people. And so we read in verse 31, "Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemies and of such that lay in wait by the way." They began their journey and God was faithful. It doesn't mean that they didn't have enemies along the way. It doesn't mean that they didn't have those enemies who sought to hold to them and to stop them from going ahead. But God preserved them. He watched over them. He brought them along the way. Like you and I, beloved brothers and sisters, when we go through our journey all the way to our Father's house, we are on a journey and there is constantly this challenge against us. There are enemies. There are those who are seeking to slay us, to hurt us, to stop us from the spiritual progress. There are enemies. Paul said in Ephesians 6, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers in the heavenly realm, the enemies of the people of God." But God is able to take us through. He's able to carry us through and to bring us all the way to the place that he wants us. And eventually, you notice how it says here in verse 31, "And the hand of our God was upon us." God's hand of protection was upon the people of Judah who returned to Jerusalem. He watched over them. He protected them. And as long that they stayed close to him, he was watching over them. He took care of them. And so you can see how beautiful to see they have ultimately have arrived to Jerusalem. Notice verse 32. It says, "And we came to Jerusalem and abode there for 3 days. I was thinking to myself, finally they arrived to Jerusalem. Imagine, this is the first time that they have seen the city after so many years. Some of them were born in Babel. They were newborn, young individuals that were born to their parents in Babel. And they only heard about the city of Jerusalem. Every time when I take a group to Jerusalem and we land in Ben Gurion Airport and then we drive with the bus and we see the city of Jerusalem before us, and there's a move in our hearts. It's the city that God has chosen. The city that Yeshua the Messiah was there. The city that years ago our forefathers had been brought into this city. The city that God had desired to establish His name there. He placed this city before the nation of Israel, and Israel as a nation 3 times a year were going to the city of Jerusalem. And now imagine they finally have arrived to the city of Jerusalem. And you know, most, not all, but most Bible teachers believe that all the Psalms, these Psalms from Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134, the Psalms of Ascents, perhaps were written in the time when Ezra was leading the people of Judah to the city of Jerusalem. And as they went higher and higher and higher, they were singing another psalm. In Hebrew we call it Shir HaMa'alot, the song of ascent. And as they were stepping higher and higher, moving forward towards the city of Jerusalem, they were singing those songs. Let me read you one psalm in Psalm 122 that they were singing as they were marching towards the city of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, a song of degree, it says here of David, but some of the rabbis believe that it was written in the time of Ezra. But whoever wrote them, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones and judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren, my companions' sake, I will now say, peace, shalom be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. So whether it is written by Ezra and the people who came with him, or whether earlier, even before, it was written as the people of Israel were marching to see the city of Jerusalem. And imagine, finally, in verse 32, they arrive to Jerusalem. Well, let's move on so we can conclude here. What did they do when they arrived to Jerusalem? Verse 33 and 34, they gave the treasure that they had to the priest in Jerusalem. And so they came to Jerusalem. They stayed there for 3 days to rest. In verse 33 and 34, on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of God by the hand of, and gives us the name of those that weigh it. A priest and Levites have weighed it and received the gifts. They received the treasure that was set up for the city of Jerusalem and for the temple. And in conclusion, brothers and sisters, they concluded this journey by offering sacrifices. Isn't it beautiful? They understood. If we are going to approach God, if we are going to be now in the presence of the Lord, verse 35, then we have to offer sacrifices. Blood must be shed. God, to accept us, sacrifices had to be offered. So they offered, notice, burnt offering, verse 35, and they offered sin offering. Burnt offering is called olah. Sin offering is called chata'ah. They needed to offer sacrifices because of their own need. They were sinners who needed to be always right with God, to be accepted by the Lord. So they offered sacrifices. And notice how many of the sacrifices it mentioned in verse 35. 12 bullocks for all Israel. Again, you remember I mentioned it in chapter 7. All Israel, as far as they were concerned, they were a whole nation. They didn't know any such a thing that people teach us today of the so-called 10 lost tribe. As far as they were concerned, there were 12 tribes that belonged to the Lord. There was a one nation. And God knows His own nation, his own people. So they offered those offerings, and every one of these offerings pointed to the Messiah, Yeshua. Every blood of a lamb that was shed was only covering for a season until the Mashiach Yeshua would come and will remove the sin of this world. Behold the Lamb of God, John said in John 1:29, that taketh away the sin of this world. So here, beloved brothers and sisters, they have arrived and they worshiped God through the sacrificial system that God had established with the people of Israel. And the conclusion, verse 36, they delivered the king's commandments unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river. And the concluding remarks is this: they furthered the people and the house of God by coming to Jerusalem, by bringing the treasures, by serving the Lord. They have furthered, they have enhanced the work of God. They have enhanced the people of God, and they have enhanced the building of the house of God. And that's the lesson that we learn here, beloved brothers and sisters. Every time you and I make a decision to come back to the principles that are taught in God's Word, when we return to the Lord, when we return with it, full assurance of heart, confessing our need of the Lord, what we do, we enhance. We are building the house of God. We are edifying the people of God. We are increasing. We are adding to the growth of the people of God. And that is what is needed today from among the people of God. The challenge is for us: are we going to serve the Lord and enhance growth among the people of God, enhance the building of the house of the Lord? If yes, God will remember that, and God will bless you, and God will honor those that honor Him.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.